Welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about tradition in worship. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about our topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. Many of the things we do in worship are a matter of tradition. Now, some may be surprised by that admission. They hear about traditions being condemned in the Bible, and they think that all traditions must be wrong. But the fact is, not all traditions are condemned by God and His Word. In fact, some traditions are even required by God. There are basically three types of traditions. In this episode, we're going to notice each of these to help us see what sort of traditions are right and what traditions are wrong. First tradition we're going to look at are the traditions that have been passed down by the apostles. Paul wrote to the brethren in Thessalonica about walking according to the tradition which you have received from us, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. The traditions or practices that we have from the apostles are not only acceptable for us to do, but are required for us to follow. The apostles, as 2 Corinthians 5:20 say, were ambassadors for Christ. That is, they were representatives who spoke on His behalf. So the traditions received from the apostles amount to directives for us from God. When Paul told the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 14:37 that if anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. In other words, when we have the writings of the apostles preserved for us in the New Testament, we are not looking at the writings of men. We are looking at the writings that came directly from the Lord through the Holy Spirit to the apostles. Those were His commandments. One example of this is with the Lord's Supper. We observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week because we see the disciples doing this in the first century. In Acts 20 and verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread, the disciples there in Troas, as they would do on the first day of the week, this was a customary practice, they gathered together there for the purpose of observing the Lord's Supper. Observing the Lord's Supper then in the assembly on the first day of the week is a tradition, and there's nothing wrong with calling it that. The early church, under the direction of the apostles, observed the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. We read about that in Acts 2:42, Acts 20 and verse 7, as we just noticed, and also 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26, Paul told the brethren in Corinth about the instructions for observing the Lord's Supper as he had received those instructions from the Lord. Traditions like these must be kept. They came from the apostles, which they received from the Lord, they were given to the church. And so these were traditions that were handed down as commandments. These are the things we must do today. Second type of tradition I want us to consider is how we customarily do a thing. Some traditions in our worship have to do with how we customarily carry out our service to God. These are not traditions passed down by the apostles. But these traditions are how we do those things that were passed down by the apostles, those how we carry out those teachings that are contained in the New Testament. An example of this would be the order of events in our assembly. The New Testament teaches that certain things are to be done in the assembly of the church on the Lord's Day. We talked about this in the previous episode as we worship God in spirit and truth. The Lord's church, when they gathered together on the first day of the week, as we saw, they observed the Lord's Supper, they gave of their means, they would sing, they would pray, and there would be preaching and teaching that would be done in that worship assembly. We may choose to take the Lord's Supper first, or we may decide in our local congregations that we're going to take the Lord's Supper at the end of the assembly, or it could be sometime in the middle. We find no particular order bound in the Scripture that we must follow as long as all of those acts of worship, Lord's Supper, giving, singing, praying, and teaching, those are all done on the first day of the week. But in an effort to do all things decently and in order, as we're told to do in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40, we typically do these things in the same order every time. Depending on what local church you are a member of, that order may differ from the order of another local church. But each local congregation typically does those things in the same order each time they meet. This is a matter of tradition. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. This order of worship sometimes is cited as alleged proof that we are so-called traditionalists. Some people might speak negatively of the, quote, two songs and a prayer type of worship assembly and claim that we are holding to man-made traditions. And often it seems that these people want to change more than just the order of worship, but the other changes they want to make are not going to be quickly accepted by others, and they realize this. So they will convince brethren, instead of making such a drastic departure from the New Testament pattern, they'll attack a harmless practice in the hopes that they will be able to prime the brethren for further changes down the road. But traditions like these, the order of worship, how we customarily do a thing, how we typically carry out a divine teaching, these traditions are not wrong. They're perfectly acceptable. As long as we do not bind these traditions upon others, say that we have to have the Lord's Supper first in the assembly or last in the assembly, and if someone differs from that, they're wrong. As long as we don't bind these traditions upon others, no sin is committed. But change for the sake of change often stems from a deeper problem, a discontent with the Word of God and with the pattern that He has given us for us to follow. The third type of tradition we want to consider are the traditions of men. Now, what do I mean by traditions of men? By this, I simply mean practices that have originated with man. The traditions we discussed in the previous point, how we customarily do a thing, those traditions do not qualify as traditions of men because they have to do with practices that originated in the mind of God. The expediencies that we use in carrying out those practices are acceptable traditions. But here on this point, what I mean are practices that originated with man, not with God. These traditions have no place in the worship of the church. After all, the church belongs to Christ. It was built by Him, as we see in Matthew 16:18, purchased by Him, Acts 20 and verse 28. He is the head of the church, as we read about in Ephesians 1:22 and 23. Therefore, the Lord is the one who decides what the church is to be practicing. Man has no right to do whatever he feels like doing in worship. Well, what are some practices that might qualify as traditions of men? There are many things that we might list here. But what do people practice in the name of worship, and they do so as a tradition? What do they do in the name of worship that is foreign to the New Testament? One example is the keeping of religious holy days, such as Christmas or Easter. These are practices that have originated in the mind of man. They have nothing to do with anything that the Scriptures teach. You cannot find them anywhere in the New Testament. They have been invented by men, but these practices have become traditions. Again, this is not the same as the traditions that we noticed previously. Those traditions had to do with how we carry out the practices we find in Scripture. The practices of Easter and Christmas are completely new practices. Therefore, they qualify as traditions of men, and as such, they have no place in the worship of the church. In conclusion, the main thing we need to remember is that not all traditions are wrong. The word tradition has such a negative connotation that one can hardly hear the word without thinking it refers to something unscriptural and wrong. But when we look at the Word of God, we can see the whole truth regarding traditions. Those traditions that are found in the New Testament must be kept. Traditions that merely relate to how we carry out a divinely approved practice are perfectly acceptable. But the traditions of men, practices that are not authorized in the New Testament, are not to be done. We may have tradition in worship, provided that God has authorized those traditions for us in His Word. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we're going to be talking about instrumental music in worship to God. Until then, I hope you have a great week.